Hey beautiful people, and welcome to a brand new episode of A Slice of Life with me, Jack Walton. Be sure to subscribe on both iTunes and Spotify, and follow me on social media, I am Jack Walton, to keep updated with new monthly episodes. Hi everyone, thank you so much for joining me. It's now May. Where is the time going? So last month we spoke to Polly all about becoming a model, which was really interesting. And today we've got a totally opposite topic, which is going to be really, really exciting. And also just to note, this episode is being recorded in isolation again. But actually, it's kind of an advantage because I'm actually recording this podcast with an international guest, which is really, really exciting. So this is my first ever time interviewing anybody who doesn't live in the UK, which I think is amazing. And again, the power of the internet allows us to do that. So I'm not going to waffle on too much longer. I want to introduce this month's guest, George Lizos.
Hello, Jack. So nice to be here with you.
How are you doing, George?
I am doing wonderful. How about you?
I'm doing well. How's it all going in Cyprus at the moment?
Oh my God, we're still in lockdown, but a very strict one in the sense that we have to send a text each time we want to go out. And we are only allowed to go out once a day. So we like have a text of the day.
Well, okay, so that's another level, isn't it? Oh my God.
A whole different level. They even closed up nature. They closed down nature. I can't go to the beach. I can't go out to parks. But it's fine. Thank God for having altars and to being able to like bring nature into our houses, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's the little things right now, isn't it? It really is the little things.
Indeed.
So like for me and you, we actually didn't meet that long ago, did we? I think it was a few months ago.
It was a couple of months, I think, yes.
And it was on Instagram, which again is really nice because a lot of people have spoken on this podcast have met through Instagram. And funnily enough, I saw George's stuff, his work, last year.
Did you?
So I actually started following you because I follow Emma Mumford.
Yes, I love Emma.
So I have been following her for a while and I saw you through there. I think you went on a podcast or something like that. And I followed you then, and I just thought I'm going to reach out to you during this lockdown. I thought it's a perfect opportunity to connect. And George came on my Instagram live, which is really good. And I just thought we need to continue this conversation. We've got so much we need to chat about. So this is the perfect opportunity, isn't it?
Yes. Oh my God, I had no idea you'd met me via Emma Mumford, which is my lovely friend. I love her book. I love her work. And yes, I've been on her podcast actually twice.
Oh, I love that. Okay, amazing. That's so good. So let's get into it. Like, tell us, like, let's strip it all back. Let's go back to the beginning. Like, so for people who don't know you, like for my audience, like, tell us about your journey. Like, where did all of this begin? Because you've had quite a colourful past, haven't you? You've had quite a big kind of journey, I guess.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Let's start back when I was 5 years old. So the first memory that I have of myself is of a 5 year old George just standing in a field of yellow daisies and just staring up at the sky, wondering, why am I here? What is the purpose of life? So I was one of those weird kids that just preferred spending our time with plants and flowers rather than with humans. Nice. And because I was so different from everybody else, I was like, I naturally stood out from the crowd. I felt like an outcast. And I experienced a lot of bullying from a very young age,
right,
which made me feel like I had to change myself to constantly be accepted and fit into the crowd. Yeah. And of course, growing up in Cyprus, a very small kind of community, like when you are different, you stand out more.
Yeah.
So I grew up my entire life having this feeling that I had to be the perfect son for my parents, the perfect citizen in society, the perfect student at school so that I would be accepted. So you can't imagine how it would feel at the age of 13 years old when I realized I was gay. There was no way I could take on yet another label.
Right.
Now, at the time, homosexuality was considered to be like gay people were considered to be criminals and pedophiles. So
there
was really the beginning of the gay movement here in Cyprus. So I'm like, there's no way I would take on these other labels. So I just have to change myself from gay to straight one step at a time.
Oh, wow.
And that's when I entered the two most debilitating years of my life, where every day for 2 years, I tried to monitor the way I looked, the way I walked, the way I talked. I even tried to monitor the way I thought so that I wouldn't be gay and I would turn myself straight.
Oh, wow.
So 2 years later, when I couldn't change what I was born to be. I decided I was a human abomination and I decided to take my own life in what will always like be in my mind as a very dark moment, a very dark night especially. Yeah. I came home from school and I took down pen and paper and I wrote a letter to my parents apologizing for what I did and saying I can't live with myself anymore. And just before I did it, just before I popped the pills, I had an epiphany. Oh. In that darkest moment in my life, I finally saw the answer that had already been available to me, but I couldn't see because I was resisting it for so long. And the answer was, fuck what people have to say, fuck what society thinks, yeah. and just learn to love and accept yourself exactly oh. as you are.
Yes.
So that's when it all started. I had no idea how to love myself, but my willingness was my path because as soon as you're willing to change, the universe shows up to support you.
So true.
So that's when I entered an 8-year path of spiritual teachings and modalities that helped me learn to love myself, forgive myself, embrace who I was born to be. And then 8 years later, I came to a point where I'm like, okay, now that I feel empowered, it's time for me to start doing this work and start helping other people do the same.
Oh, I love that.
So that's when my first book came out when I was 25, called wow. Be the Guru, a step-by-step guide to becoming your own spiritual teacher. And that was basically the beginning of the journey. And now here I am, years later after that, coming up with my second book, Lightworkers Gotta Work.
That is, do you know, that is so inspiring, I think, for anybody, because you came from a place of feeling total despair and you were, you know, you weren't happy with who you are because you felt, you know, you couldn't be that person. I also had very similar experiences growing up as well, yeah. where because of like the bullying I was having and like just like, because for me, I, when you hear so many times, or, you know, being gay is wrong, it's a bad thing, it's negative, you do take on that belief and you think, okay, it's wrong. This isn't something to be celebrated or embraced. Exactly. And that can take a very, very long time to get over. And I think the fact she went from that place to now, it's like two, it's like opposites, isn't it, for you? It's like worlds apart where you've been from and now where you are now. It's just, it's really amazing. And it's, I almost think listening to it, it was meant to be, like in a weird way, this was all meant to happen to get you to go to that place, to then get to this place you're at now, to want to help people and to change people's lives and to motivate people.
Oh, absolutely. That's the best revenge we could both take of our bullies. Like using all so that experience true. To write books, do this work, help people.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely love that. So the fact that you wrote your first book at 25, when you wrote that book, what kind of spurred you on to writing it? Why did you want to do it? Was it just something that you decided to do, or was it something you had planned for a while?
I felt it was my responsibility after going through something like that to use those tools that helped me, basically that helped me save my life, to help others do the same. And it doesn't have to be me. Now, this book is not for gay guys or girls or yeah. anybody. It is for anyone who uses other people, other resources as their form of happiness, wisdom, and support. So the book is Ooh. Called Be the Guru, a step-by-step guide to becoming your own spiritual teacher. So it's about ridding ourselves from everything we depend to be happy, to feel supported, to find wisdom, and get to find all that within us. Because when we free ourselves from that dependency, that's when we can truly be happy, and that's when we can truly be ourselves. So it was a responsibility that I felt early on, and it's something that now with my second book, Lightworkers Gotta Work, it is a characteristic of lightworkers in the sense that from a very young age, we feel like we're here to create change in the world, and this change has to do with more than just our own personal well-being. So these are the two characteristics of lightworkers. Firstly, we have a strong sense of purpose. Secondly, that purpose extends beyond our personal sphere and into the global sphere.
Wow. So you speak quite a lot about lightworkers. How did you become a lightworker? How did you find out, okay, I'm a lightworker? How did this come about for you? Because it's a very strong principle for you now, but where did the lightworker like label or purpose or job come from?
The lightworker like term came to me when I read Doreen Virtue's book, The Lightworker's Way. But what lightworkers are goes beyond any labels. Like we are defined in different ways. Essentially, a lightworker is anyone who wants to make the world a better place by consciously choosing to be in the world. Okay, so it is a conscious choice and a calling to help make the world a better place. However, in the book, in Lightworkers Gotta Work, I introduce a new term. I introduce a term of Ascension Lightworker. Ascension Lightworkers are a special group of old, mature souls who have come into this world at this point in time and over the past few decades for the purpose of ascending the vibration of the planet and therefore upgrading the Earth's software, so to speak. So we're here not to master life on Earth, but to revolutionize life on Earth, to introduce a new way of living into the world, to therefore transition the world to a more kinder, more loving, a better place.
Oh, I mean, it's just full of positivity, isn't it?
Indeed.
I absolutely love that. But I want to take it back a little bit. So when you had the epiphany, when you were a lot younger, when that happened, what kind of happened next? Because I also had a spiritual awakening a few years ago. And obviously it's not overnight, is it? Like, things don't kind of like magically transform, but it is, I would say it's like a lot of self-dedication. You have to really dedicate to what you're doing. So when this happened, what kind of happened next? How did you begin to change things? How did you begin to get more positive and like to change your kind of attitude towards your sexuality and things like that?
So I was always very spiritual, and growing up in an Orthodox Christian society, that was my only experience of spirituality. So I was a really strong Christian, but that was partly the reason I was driven to wanting to commit suicide, because church told me I wasn't allowed to be this way. So right after my almost attempted suicide, I'm like, nope, I can't hold on to Christianity anymore because I don't find any source of love or acceptance there. All I find is judgment. So I'm like, okay, letting that go. And then that was around the time that the Harry Potter books and movies were coming out.
Ah.
And I'm like, oh my God, like, I wonder if I can find the sense of love and magic in real life as well. So I started Googling. I'm like, okay, let's see what is out there. And I had found a book on feng shui, the Chinese art of placement, where you change your house and you magically change your life as well. So I used feng shui to manifest a boyfriend at the time. Used this to like change other things about myself. So it started with feng shui. And then, you know, you read something and then something else comes in through that book.
Yeah,
and then
definitely.
It takes
definitely.
You on a trail. So it went through meditation and angels and dream interpretation, astral projection, Louise Hay's work, You Can Heal Your Life, was something very important that I read. And that's why I later went on to work for Hay House, because in a way I wanted to give back to all the authors who helped me heal. So it was like step by step by step by step. Like, when you're willing to change, the universe shows up for you. When you show up for you, the universe shows up for you.
And isn't that point that you just said there interesting, that when you actually do want to change, it all kind of, it starts to fall into place. Like, things will happen. You will find, oh, that's a book I can read. That's something I can watch. But like before that, these things have always been around, but you just don't see them. It's like the blinkers are off. And then when you're on your journey, you see all these different things. And it's like, why didn't I know about this before? Like, why didn't I know about the law of attraction and the universe? That's what I remember thinking. And it was always there, though. I just didn't realize it.
Because nobody teaches us that. It's like, it's the way the society works. Nobody teaches us how to meditate or how to love ourselves. It's all about like mathematics and geography and all that kind of stuff.
Thank you. No, that's actually a really good point, though, because when I grew up and when you grew up, we're not told, are we? You need to love yourself. You need to actually be proud of who you are. You need to accept yourself. It's just maths, English, you know, get married, get a good job. It's all of that. But the real stuff, I suppose, is what you've learned after school, would you say?
Yes. And I think the biggest like disconnect from our own essence is we're taught to not follow our intuition. It's all about following set rules and set formulas for success. Like me growing up, like in Cyprus, because it's such a small society, you can only study 4 subjects and consider to be a normal person. You can either be an accountant, you can be a doctor, you can be an engineer, or you can be a lawyer. If you do anything else, you're dumb.
Sounds really dull and boring, though.
Yeah, and I was a straight A student, and I chose to study geography. I went to Bristol University and I studied geography, and everybody was like, oh my God, you're so smart, why are you going to study geography? I'm like, do you know what geography is? It is such a hard subject. It combines like so many different like things. Like, just, people just don't get it. So when you're growing in a society, like wherever you are in the world, whatever, like, because it's not just in small societies, it exists anywhere in the world. When you're growing up in a culture that teaches you a certain way of living, then why would you go out and think that there is something outside of that? But when you get a taste of it, that's when the whole, like, old stereotype world breaks down and you're free to start creating your own reality.
That's so true, because although you're in the society that was very the opposite, when you started your journey and you kind of realized all this stuff, it does change things. So, like, what happened in terms of, like, being in Cyprus? Did you stay in Cyprus? Did you leave? Because I know you're there now. So, like, how did that work in terms of, you know, the acceptance that you weren't getting there, and how did you find it?
Thankfully, I left. So as soon as I went to an the thing is, I was lucky because I went to an English school in Cyprus. So I did GCSEs and A-levels. So it was like living in the UK, but in Cyprus. So the next, like, possible step for me, the next best step was to go to the UK to study. So I left when I was 19. I went to Bristol. I did my degree in geography. And that's when, basically, I started really exploring spirituality and exploring my sexuality as well, because like, I was free. Like, I was away from all that stereotype. And I was like, there are crystal shops, and there were like psychics all around, and there were like books and like so many things for me to explore. So basically, I developed all my spiritual business and my beliefs in the UK. But now the reason I left, that goes into the second book, because that's when it starts. So let's just fast forward a little bit. So
let's do it.
3 years in Bristol, then I went to London. I did my master's degree at Imperial College. Then I'm like, okay, I had a realization while I was studying geography that, oh my God, my purpose is to be a spiritual teacher, but I need skills. I need to start my own spiritual business.
Ah.
So I'm like, great, I'm going to do a master's degree in business management. That's what I did, to learn how to run my own spiritual business.
That's why I
went to Imperial College London to do that. Then after that, I'm like, okay, I want to get a job that I enjoy, that supports me financially, while at the same time supports my own spiritual business while I build it part-time. And well, the universe worked its magic and I got a job at Hay House, like the best possible job that any spiritual person could get. So I worked in sales, which was a very magical thing. But at Hay House, I got to do like readings at the start of every day to myself. And I had an altar on my desk. So it was really a whole different world. 3 years working at Hay House, basically working a full-time job while working on my business part-time. So that meant I worked 9 to 5. Then I would come home, work on my business until midnight, go to sleep, and do the same thing the following day. Weekends were also dedicated to my business. So that meant 3 years later, I had no time to myself, no time for my love life, social life. Like I had to, like, it was all work, 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 work. So I was abusing my masculine energy in the same way I was abusing my masculine energy in the past.
When
I suppressed my femininity and abused my masculine energy.
Yeah.
And I thought I freed myself from that. But there I was again, so many years later, doing the same in a very subversive, very subtle way. Until one day I woke up intending to go to work, but my body just wouldn't move. I had exhausted my body to the point that it just didn't function.
So I'm like, burnout.
Yes, I burnt out completely. I'm like, okay, something needs to change. And whenever I face any sort of problem, I went to Glastonbury.
Nice. Yeah, nice. I love that.
So I went to Glastonbury, and around that time, whenever I would have a past life regression, I would see myself as a prostitute. I'm like, what's up with all this prostitute past life? Something's there for me to release. And although I'm a past life therapist myself, I couldn't objectively see what was going on. So I went and I worked with a past life therapist in Glastonbury. I did a past life regression, and I went to the first past lifetime that I was a prostitute. And what happened was, I became pregnant by one of my clients.
Right.
And when I had told him that I was pregnant, he took a knife, stabbed me in the womb, and killing the baby. So there we have masculine energy killing feminine energy.
Yes.
So that's when I promised and I vowed myself I would keep rejecting feminine energy and abusing masculine energy. So lifetime after lifetime, I would be born a prostitute for the purpose of rejecting my femininity, suppressing it, abusing it by masculine energy, because that's what I vowed. That's what I promised. Until this lifetime, Jack, that I did almost try to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like the patriarchy, the masculine, the abuse of masculine energy, try to take my femininity, my gayness, and almost took my own life. And although I was saved back then, there I was still doing that, still having masculine energy killing me slowly.
Yeah.
So I go out of the past life regression, like tears in my eyes. I'm like, oh my God, I need to learn how to embrace the divine feminine. So I rush out of the past life regression. Right opposite the street was the goddess temple of Glastonbury, where they trained people to become priestess and priests to the goddess, the Celtic goddesses. So I go inside. I'm like, I need to embrace the divine feminine. So they explained to me about like the Celtic goddesses, Brigid and Rihanna and all these beautiful goddesses. And although I respect that tradition, I'm like, I'm not a Celt, I'm Greek. So it doesn't really resonate with me that much. But I wonder if I can find the same thing within the Greek tradition. So I go home, I search online, and of course, as it always happens, I found there was the first ever priesthood training for the Greek pagan religion. Therefore, the Greek tradition that all the honors the pagan gods and goddesses, Zeus, Aphrodite, Poseidon, Apollo. Ooh. So there I was booking a trip to Athens 2 months later,
nice.
Where I went and I trained to become a priest to Hellenic polytheism, therefore Greek paganism, and honor the divine feminine and the divine masculine. While in Glastonbury, I heard something that did not make sense at the time, but it felt true. Mm. And that was, George, you're supposed to find the feminine from within the masculine. And that was what really intrigued me. And that made sense when I went to Greece, because the way the ancient Greeks honored the different gods, they did not honor just a goddess or just a god. They had to be couples. They had to be this balanced state of being, the divine feminine and the divine masculine.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's what it means. Like, to find the feminine, I need to embrace the masculine in a healthy way, because masculine energy, which is all about taking action, moving forward, like structure, planning, like when you do it in a balanced way, it's also feminine, because that action is inspired from source. At the same time, when feminine energy is balanced, then it comes from masculine energy, because it's not procrastination. Now, feminine energy is all about resting, retreating, trusting your intuition, fluidity. So when you're abusing that, you're procrastinating. When it's balanced, you're using that, the intuition and the guidance you receive through these resting activities to take forward action. So masculine and feminine energies, I realized, were two sides of the same coin. And that's when I'm like, okay, so it's not about just honoring the goddess and just being feminine, my energy. It's about finding the balance between the two. And as soon as I found that balance, that's when I had the epiphany. Oh my God, the way for me to find this balance and like save myself from exhaustion and burnout is to quit my job, go back to Cyprus, and go self-employed. So as soon as that clicked in within me, I'm like, okay, this is an inspired guidance to make that happen, to make this balance happen. So what my book, Lightworkers Gotta Work, is all about, it's about balancing your masculine and feminine energy in a practical way. Therefore, taking action towards your day to be feminine. Therefore, doing yoga, spiritual practice, meditation, resting, nurturing yourself, trusting your intuition. But then after you do that, balancing that out with taking action towards following your life purpose, and not just sitting there knowing your life purpose, knowing your light, but not working it. Because that is our purpose as lightworkers, to create change in the world. And unless we get off the meditation pillows and use what we receive and work it, like we're doing right now, filming podcast interviews, that's a masculine energy kind of thing, then the world ain't gonna change.
So true.
So long story to this conclusion, but That's essentially how I left the UK and came back to Cyprus, because now I'm like, I have 3 hours every morning just to like dedicate on my spiritual practice. Whereas in London, it was like 15 minutes and then I had to go to work.
Do you know what? You've had, in a very short space of time, you've had such a roller coaster of a journey from Bristol to London and then to Hay House, which is just the most amazing opportunity. And I'm sure you took so much from doing that. And then, but then also like the past life stuff, I really want to ask about that, because a lot of people are probably going to think, what's a past life regression? What does that mean? It sounds very, very, I mean, I'm not going to lie, it sounds a bit like scary. Like, what is it? What does it mean? Like, how, you know, how, what does it entail? I'm very, very intrigued about a past life regression.
Oh, thank you for asking. So there are many misconceptions about past life regression. So essentially, a past life regression is when you get into a state of hypnosis for the purpose of exploring your past lives. Now, hypnosis, most people think it's all about going to sleep and having a therapist control you and insert things into your mind. That is just Hollywood people. It's not what hypnosis is all about. Hypnosis is basically a deep state of relaxation, a deep state of meditation. You have full control. You don't go to sleep. Nobody's controlling you. Okay. Right. It just allows you to access your subconscious mind so you can make changes into your belief system. Mm. And in the purpose of past life regression, it allows you to relax your mind and consciousness to the place where you're tuning into your soul, and your soul is eternal. Your soul is not just limited by this lifetime. Your soul is able to remember all past lifetimes you've ever had. So when you come into this relaxed state of merging with your soul, you're able to go back and have a remembrance of a past life. So during a past life regression, I don't tell you anything. You tell me all about your past life. You're seeing things with your mind's eye. And you're telling me, I'm like 60 years old, I'm in China, I have this job. So you're retelling the whole story that you see in your mind's eye. Wow. But there is a process to for the therapist to get you into the process of experiencing that. And that's what a past life regression is.
That sounds very powerful. So what, when you've had it, what kind of happens? Is it useful? Is it like, what can you do with that? Because it sounds like it's something we should all maybe look into.
So many people use it for spiritual entertainment, which is not the way I choose to use it.
Right. Okay.
Now, my entire purpose is to help light workers to find, follow, and fulfill their life purpose. So everything I do, all the books I write, all the courses I do, all the material I teach is all about helping light workers either find their life purpose or overcome the obstacles that prevent them from following it. Right. So in this case, past life regression can be used for both. So you can use past life regression to identify a trauma in the past life that's affecting your current life, heal it in the past so you can heal it in the present, which is what happened with me. You can use past life regression to retrieve past life skills, because if you were, let's say, for example, a writer in a past life, you can retrieve that skill into your present lifetime so you're a better writer now. And actually, on my website, georgelizas.com, I have workshops all about retrieving past life skills, healing past life traumas, and all different kinds of things. And of course, you can use it to find what your life purpose is by exploring your purposes from past lives.
So you speak a lot about life purposes. How does every single person have a life purpose? And I know this might be a hard question, but how do we know what our life purpose is? Because I'm sure there'll be a lot of people listening to this thinking, I mean, I don't know what my life purpose is. This is such a big question. How do I, you know, they might be thinking I'm a certain age. Do I need to know it by now? What do I need to do to like find out?
Great question. So if you're listening right now and you're wondering, what is my life purpose? Well, get my book, Lightworkers Gotta Work, first of all, because I wrote it for the purpose of helping people find their life purpose. But here's essentially like the answer to your questions. We all have a life purpose. Specifically, in the book, I talk about the four purposes we have as lightworkers. The first one is our collective purpose, which is our general lightworker purpose of helping make the world a better place, simply as that. Okay.
Nice.
The second purpose is our soul realm purpose. Now, soul realms are groups of souls. In the same way we have different countries with different languages and customs, we have different soul groups. Each soul group has a collective purpose that draws from that broader lightworker purpose. Wow. Then we have our soul purpose, that is a series of purposes we fulfill over many lifetimes. Let's say, for example, our sole purpose is environmental conservation. That needs, like, let's say, for example, 5 lifetimes to be fulfilled. So 1 lifetime, you identify the problem. 2nd lifetime, you start solving it. 3rd time, you make more progress. And it goes on like that. So that's our sole purpose. It spans a few lifetimes. And then our life purpose, that's one step towards fulfilling our sole purpose. So it's one lifetime, something very specific that we came here to achieve to help us move forward on our sole purpose and therefore soul realm purpose and therefore lightworker collective purpose. Now, everybody, like muggles, now, I use this term lovingly. Okay,
now
I'm
very
conscious about not creating spiritual elitism here. Okay,
yes, yeah.
By muggles, I mean non-lightworkers. It doesn't mean they're less important or their purpose is less important. It's just different.
Yeah.
So muggles, maybe like people like in an early stage on the spiritual journey, their purpose could be learning how to forgive, learning how to love, or as simple as graduating high school.
Yeah.
Light workers are more advanced, therefore more mature souls, meaning we've just had a lot of past lives and now we've matured enough. We're at a later stage in our soul's journey where our purpose has to do with more than just our personal fulfillment, and it has to do with creating change in the world. So that's why in the book, I help. Now, this book is written specifically for lightworkers within the spiritual community. So it's for healers, it is for intuitives and witches and spiritual entrepreneurs and anybody wanting to use their spiritual skills to help create change in the world. So it's not directed to muggles or to the broader spectrum of lightworkers that can exist in all sorts of life, because I'm very woo-woo in the way I explain things. I talk about like so many different spiritual modalities. I don't think like muggles would resonate with it. But if you consider yourself to be spiritual in any way or form, then this book is for you. It's going to help you get very clear on exactly what your life purpose is. And by clear, I mean defining it in a specific 2-paragraph definition. That's what people will end up after they go through the first part of the book, which is find your life purpose. I guide you through my 3-step formula to defining your life purpose. And then the rest of the book guides people to nurture their light and therefore nurture their feminine energy, so they're inspired with the guidance they need to follow their life purpose. The 3rd part is about working your light, therefore taking the action steps. So it's full of manifestation tools and processes. And then the 4th part is all about protecting your light, which is all about energy protection and how to protect our light to ensure that we are authentic on the way to following your life purpose and we're not influenced by other people's energies.
Okay, so that sounds so valuable for really anybody, because I think the number one thing that we all crave so much is to know, why are we here? What's the why? What's my purpose? What am I doing here? So to get your book and then you're going to get an insight into that, that sounds incredibly valuable, because that's the number one thing. I think now more than ever, a lot of people do seem quite lost.
Yes, yes. And that's why actually, if anybody pre-orders the book, if you go to georgelizas.com/lightwork, when you pre-order the book and enter your receipt number in that page, there's a sign-up form, you'll get a free 2-hour workshop with me called Life Purpose Bootcamp, during which I will guide you through this exact process to define your life purpose before you even get the book into your hands. So by the time you get the book, then you're ready to start following your life purpose. So I just wanted to give a freebie to people who pre-order the book in advance.
Oh, that is so lovely. Okay, I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be doing that ASAP. That is so exciting. I can't wait, because like when you're saying about all like definition of a light worker, I feel like I am a light worker in like
some of course
you way.
Are. Yeah. Jack, you're an essential light worker and you're freaking working your light like no other.
I just feel I when you were saying it, I was like, I resonate so much with that. I thought that sounds like I think the term as well, it's so kind of positive, and it just makes you feel really good when you say light worker. It just makes me think of somebody like majestically walking around, like light everywhere and like doing good in the world. It's just, I think it's really important, isn't it, to have light workers?
Exactly. That's why we're here, especially with what's going on right now with the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so glad that my book is coming out during this time, because like we need these more than ever. I just posted on Instagram today a post saying, light worker, our time is now. It's no longer the dress rehearsal.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've been preparing ourselves for lifetimes for this moment, because we're going through a paradigm shift right now. And it's our responsibility to help the world step up and move forward into this new earth that we're creating.
That's a good point, actually. I was going to ask that. So what do you think is happening right now in terms of this situation? What it's something bigger, isn't it? Because I keep having this feeling that this is something so much bigger than what it is. And although I don't know right now, I know that something's happening, isn't it? There's something bubbling under the surface.
Yes. So I told you I studied geography. So my geography professors always used to tell me, it's not about saving planet Earth. It's about saving the human race.
Yeah.
And that's something I learned in geography, is that the Earth has powerful processes to ensure she maintains her balance. And that's why it's been here for 4 point something billion years, whereas we've been here for 100,000 years or a few more than that, but like a minuscule amount of time in comparison to the Earth's age. So the Earth has survived everything because there are ocean currents and earthquakes and volcanic eruptions and atmospheric systems to bring balance, even if that means kicking us out of the system. Okay, so we've been abusing Mother Earth for so long.
Yeah.
So could that be, I'm just asking a rhetorical question, could that be the Earth's way of finding balance, of kicking out a few of us to give itself a rest so it can find balance? And you can see around the world, nature is thriving among this time, it's rejoicing. But at the same time, it's also a spiritual transformation.
Mm.
Like all the mystics over time, they talked about the new golden age or the Aquarian age that's coming now. And the shift started in 2012. And I think this is another shift that we're going through right now, where more and more people are awakening to their spirituality.
Yeah, definitely.
They're awakening to the fact that we're not just physical human beings, that we have a spiritual presence. And when we start giving attention to that, we get to live happier, more fulfilling lives.
Yeah.
And we get to be happier and kinder to one another, and we get to bring balance into the world. So this is my take on what's going on right now. And like the book, Lightworkers Gotta Work, is a response to how, what we can do to help bring upon this change.
I really feel that, because I think, like you just said, there's a lot more people now waking up to the fact that there's so much more to life than doing just the typical 9 to 5 and following this, you know, following the sheep and the crowd, and they're actually deciding to go a different way, like you did all those years ago. And I think now it's en masse. It's literally en masse. So many more people are discovering, okay, I'm not going to be fulfilled by this. I need to do something different. And I guess what's happening at the moment, it's, in the end, this is only going to be a good thing. There's going to be a big shift, I think. I really do believe that.
100%.
I really believe that. So when you were saying about masculine and feminine energy, you speak a lot about that. And you were speaking about how we can use it usefully. Like, how can we kind of use it in a good way? Because I, like, really, a bit of a backstory. So I'm really into the personal development side of things in terms of the goal setting and like the working. And I can relate now, that's like kind of the masculine stuff. But I'm always a mix. I'm always, a lot of the time, always into like the spiritual stuff in terms of meditating and self-care and like nature. And so it's interesting when you said that that's quite feminine, that's quite masculine. So like, how can we like identify it, and how can we usefully like use these different energies in our typical day-to-day like you do?
Now, both of us are Leos, and Leos are quite masculine signs in general. So there's a, like, I think we're all born with a default preference. So some people are more in their feminine energy. Some people are more in their masculine. Leos tend to mostly be in their masculine.
Okay, so that makes sense.
let's define the energy so far, and so that people can get a better idea of what activities fall into these two energies. So the divine masculine and the divine feminine are the two primal energies of source, spirit, the universe, whatever you want to call it. So the divine feminine and feminine energy are all about the fluidity, They're fluid activities. They are unstructured. It's all about resting and taking care of yourself and retreating and trusting your intuition and not planning and being spontaneous. So it's that fluid energy that you see out in nature, for example, during winter. That's when nature goes into its feminine state where it retreats from creation. And then masculine energy, that is the opposite. So it's about taking action. It's about moving forward. It's about planning and structuring things. It's forward movement. Okay, so these are the two contrasting energies. Now, activities falling into the divine feminine side are resting, yes, trusting your intuition, yoga, meditating, sleeping, taking time for self-care. So all activities that are more, that have a more basking kind of qualities. And then masculine activities are all about taking action, moving forward, creating courses, doing podcasts. It's all about structuring and planning for the future. So it's all, it has to do with taking action and moving forward.
That's so interesting.
So in the book, I have the two parts, one about the feminine, one about the masculine. Now, the part two, which is all about nurturing feminine energy, it's all about activities that we can do to nurture that. So I talk about meditation. I actually talk about sunbathing, moonbathing, and starbathing as a way of turning on our own inner life. So I go really specific with how to work with sacred space and how to, like, I go deeper with spiritual modalities in there. And then the third part, which is all about working your light and therefore using masculine energy, it's about using manifestation processes to receive the guidance about the action steps that we need to take. So I don't tell you, oh, go do a podcast or go do a video. I tell you, use these manifestation processes, such as manifestation altars or becoming a magnet of attraction, so that you can receive the specific action steps, masculine action steps, that are related to your life purpose.
Right.
So, wow. And like my general guidance is that we ensure that we find this balance in our day-to-day lives. Therefore, our daily life is balanced with masculine activities and feminine activities. And so is our week, and so is our month, and so is our year. And the way it works with me, I spend time at the beginning of the week, of the month, and the year planning things in advance to ensure that my schedule is balanced, to ensure that, yes, I'm spending 3 times meditating and doing spiritual work in the morning, but then I'm freaking working my light by doing work in the afternoon. So it's all about doing that, because you know what? It's so easy to dissociate spirituality from real life and be like, oh, I'm balancing my masculine energy because I've just done this meditation about balancing masculine and feminine energy. But unless you're expressing in the real world, you're just light chilling. You're not light working.
Yeah, like chilling. Yeah. Oh my God, I love that. That's so interesting, because I don't think people realize that, you know, in their typical day to day, they're having all these different energies. They just, you know, they're just doing their day. But when you break it down, then I can straight away think, yeah, that's masculine. That's kind of feminine energy. That's masculine. It's really useful, I think. How can that be like of a benefit then? Because obviously there's a lot of people that like really hustle and work quite a lot. So I guess maybe those kinds of people need to be more embracing the feminine side of energy, I guess.
Yes. And well, unless you find balance, you cannot follow your life purpose. So that's where it comes to. Okay. So if someone wants to follow their life purpose, I'm like, well, if you don't find this balance, you're not going to follow your life purpose, because if you are more in your masculine energy, that means you're going to be hustling. That's going to be your, That means you're going to be disconnected from your intuition. Therefore, the hustle you're going to be doing will not have any purpose.
Yeah.
Because it won't be inspired from source. It's just going to be inspired from your ego. So it's going to be ego work, not light work. So you won't move forward with your life purpose. Now, if someone is more in their feminine energy, that means they procrastinate all day long. They just sit there meditating. Ooh, I'm vibrating high. My vibration is changing the world, but not really.
You're just sitting there meditating all day long.
You know your light, but you're not taking action. So your life is not changing. And you're like sitting there meditating, wondering why your positive affirmations haven't worked so far. And that's only because you haven't taken the action
that
you've been inspired to take as a result of doing these positive affirmations. So both two occasions leave you feeling stuck.
Yeah.
So that is why. So if someone's wondering, oh yeah, this sounds cool, but why would I bother? Well,
yes.
Because you want to follow your life purpose. And if you don't follow your life purpose, you're going to live a draining kind of life,
yeah,
living
exactly.
other people's lives, not your life. And what is the purpose of life? To feel, be happy and feel fulfilled. If you don't follow your life purpose,
hell
you don't
yes.
get to feel happy or fulfilled. So what is the point?
Literally, what is the point? And I think life is far too short as well, you know?
Yes.
That is so interesting because it's made me kind of have a bit of an epiphany where when you have burnout, when you burn out from working so much, I guess that's because you are abusing your masculine energy. But that
yes.
is so interesting. I just realized
exactly.
that.
Exactly. That's what I was doing my entire life.
Yeah, because I've had burnout like years and years ago. And now, now you're saying all this. It's almost like you can put the piece of the puzzle together. So I guess people listening will also be like, that's like, again, because this stuff isn't spoke about enough. This
yes.
stuff really isn't spoken about. Like the whole masculine and feminine energy, that for me is a very new concept. You don't hear it spoke about much. So the fact that you're doing this in your work, I think it's really important, isn't it? It's like a simple thing, but it's so important.
And you know what? You will live in a patriarchal world, meaning a very masculine world. Now, patriarchy, which is a system that we live in right now, had existed for the past 6,000 years. So this abuse of masculine energy is really embedded into the very core of society, of culture, of religion, of the way we're brought up. Now, we go to school. They don't tell us, make sure to take breaks while you work. They just tell us work.
Oh, okay? My God, yeah. Yeah.
Nobody teaches us the feminine aspect of things. It's just work.
Yeah.
Like go to school, go to university, get good grades. So it's all about getting and going and
yeah.
doing. There is no, make sure to drink a lot of water, make sure to exercise. Like they don't teach you this kind of stuff.
It's true.
The whole world is very masculine. So how can we expect ourselves to not burn out? How can we expect ourselves to like listen to our intuitions when nobody teaches us that? It sort of takes us back to where we started this conversation. Like, nobody
yeah.
teaches you this kind of stuff.
They don't. And I think that's why more and more people are waking up to a different way of living, because they're just sick of like the mundane, typical stuff and the burnout. And they just want more. They want something different. And I guess that's why there's all of these, like we're just seeing so many different kind of uprisings now. And I think it's really, really cool. And I think it's only going to get more from here. And I think, long may it continue. Long may it continue.
Yes, I can't wait for it to become more, to come more in the like in the front lines.
I know, to almost for it to be like mainstream. I think right now it is still on that kind of, this is the mind, body, spirit kind of thing. It's on the side. But I think one day it will be at the forefront and center, and it will be the thing that everyone goes to first. And that will be fantastic.
What is at the center right now is the divine feminine is rising. It's all about like the future is female.
Yeah.
God is revolution. And I'm like, yes, that's the energy we need. But
there's a book there, isn't there?
If we only focus on that energy because we know that's what needed, we may end up creating yet another imbalance, this time favoring feminine energy. So I'm really like, I'm a feminist myself. I really value and
yeah.
believe it's so important to help the divine feminine to rise.
I agree.
But I believe that we shouldn't vilify the divine masculine in the process of doing so. And we should really teach ourselves and the world to forgive the abuse of masculine energy
yes.
and learn to use it in a way that supports the feminine.
Oh, that's such a good point, because when you just said that then, it's like, it's criticized so much, but actually without the masculine energy, this thing wouldn't be able to work. Like life wouldn't be able to work. You need to have both. So it's
exactly.
almost like, yes, okay, it can be everything can be pushed too far and used to the limit. Like masculine energy is a lot of the time. But as you just said, if there's like a spiritual person listening that's, really into meditating and they love doing that, they then need to use the masculine energy to work on themselves, to get the stuff done, to work on their purpose. So you need both, don't you?
Exactly. There we go.
I mean, and I think when you just said that about the feminine, I'm seeing a lot now, like lots and lots of like him. I've got lots of spiritual friends, and of course a lot of them do tend to be women, which again I always find that interesting. So would you believe that you are like my first spiritual friend who's a male? I mean, serious.
I get it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like I can see from my audience, it's mostly straight women and gay men, which makes sense because I'm a gay guy. So I attract all the gays and I attract all the women. But I do believe and I know that there are many straight spiritual guys out there. We just don't see them because I think we attract all the gays.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Nothing wrong with that. People resonate with people that are like them.
Yes. So
it makes perfect sense that these are the people that we're attracting in our communities.
That's so true, because I really think we need to see more, like, because again, I've got a lot of friends and like, oh, I'm going to a women's circle tonight and they're doing all this stuff, and I see a lot of them, yeah, and I see a lot of Facebook groups and it's like, no, it's a women's only community and there's lots of like divine feminine, you know, groups, and I'm like, oh, I really love that, but then at times it's like, oh, actually, like, there needs to be like more for men. So
yes, and who's there to teach men how to heal their masculine energy? Because that's what we need right now. Even though, by the way, it's important to note that masculine and feminine energy has nothing to do with gender. Okay.
So many people
confuse the different energies. So gender is social. It's all about being a man, a woman, non-binary. Mm. Sex is biological. It's about being born male or female or other. And then sexuality is about being gay. It's biological. It's how you're born, to be gay or straight or bi or etc. And then the masculine and feminine energies are just energies that are present within all these of three arenas. So yes, most men tend to have more masculine energy, but they also have feminine energy. And yes, most women have more feminine energy, but they also have masculine energy. So these are energies that are present in all genders, in all sexes, and in all sexualities.
I noticed that. I think I noticed it because when you said that, then I know like women that are really like big business women, they're really into the business and the working. And then straight to her, I'm like, yeah, because that's, you know, that's a female who's got a lot of masculine energy in her.
Yes.
And it's like, when you just said that, it's like, you really can kind of put the pieces together, can't you? It's very easy to identify people then, I guess.
Yes. I mean, it's very easy to get things confused when it comes to these energies, because we're using gender specific energies that are not really gender specific.
And that's why I think when I just made a link, then I thought, that's true. Because again, I think we do get it confused until somebody like you explains it. It's like, actually that does make, that makes sense.
Yes. And then I guess. And I make a note, like in the beginning of the book, I have a pre-chapter called A Note on Terms, where I talk about what I mean by masculine and feminine energy, and I explain what is sex, what is gender, and what is sexuality, and where this comes in.
Nice. But I really think that I think we need to create a men's circle.
I would love that.
Let's do it. Let's make it happen, because I think we need to see them. I think women's circles, it's great. It's amazing. But, you know, effectively, you're just sitting around in a circle or in a room talking about emotions and feelings and like healing. I mean, we all need that, don't we? Like you've just said, that like, everybody needs that desperately.
You know what, Jack? There are many male groups for straight people, but there aren't many for gay people.
Why is that?
That worries me a lot, because we need a lot of healing, because you know what's going on? We've been judged our entire lives.
Yeah.
And then suddenly we come out of the closet and we accept ourselves. But because judgment is all we experience, we judge each other. That's why the gay community is so bitchy.
Oh my gosh. Is that what it is? Oh my God. George, this is so interesting. That's so interesting.
Oh. Yes, because all we know is judgment and attack, because that's what we experienced. So how can we know how to love and respect one another if that's all we experience? There is this great book, Jack, called Straight Jacket, which it's written by the ex-editor of Attitude magazine, which is a gay UK magazine. And he talks about the gay culture in London, and his perspective of what's going on and where we need to heal. I recommend this to any gay guy. It's specifically about gay guys, his book. So it deals with a lot of the issues that we're going through.
It sounds really good, because when you said that, then no one's really said that before, but I felt it a lot, that a lot of them, like, you know,
I don't know about you, but yeah. I don't get along with many gays, because I'm like, I feel judged by them.
Okay, so me, interestingly, I don't really even much. I've got one gay friend and that's it. And then that kind of took a long time to find, because I've known lots of gay people in my life, but it's just never really vibed. It's just, I don't know. It's just like, I felt a lot of, like you just said, judgment. And when you said that, then I thought, wow, it's not just me. Then I just thought it was just me that was thinking this. It's because it's not really spoke about, is it?
No, it gets very toxic, but it's not something again to perpetuate the judgment of that. It's we need to focus on healing that. And again, it
That's
has
the
to do with
point.
this because our feminine energy was judged for so long, so we came to suppress it. And unless you go through a process of healing, like for example, you and I did,
The healing, yeah.
then you keep suppressing it, but you know you're supposed to own it because we're all about accepting ourselves and being out and proud and all
Yeah.
that. But it's sort of the two different energies that are fighting within you.
Yeah.
And you want to accept yourself, but at the same time you judge yourself and feel guilty about who you are, and you take it out on other gays, and there's a lot of comparison and judgment. So it's a
So
whole new
true.
podcast episode.
I know, but it's so true though, isn't it? Because when you just said that, I've got that vision then of also women, when women are so kind of competitive, like looks and like what they've got. So there's a lot of that going on, isn't there? There's a lot of like judgment going
Yes.
on. There's a lot of, and actually I really need to read. There's a book I need to read on this called The Judgment Detox by Gabriella Bernstein.
I love it. Yes, I love Gabby's work. She
I
was one
need
of the
to read
main
that
people I
book.
studied.
Really need to read that book. So after I feel like after this podcast, I need to go and get this book now. I feel really inspired.
You're gonna like it. I read it and loved it.
Really? Okay, amazing. I need
Yes.
to. So, like, kind of wrapping things up. Tell us about, you've mentioned it lots, but tell us about Lightworkers Gotta Work and like how you started writing it, and then I guess like what can I know you said a lot about what people can expect, but what's going to happen? Like, when's it being released? Tell us about where we can find you. All that kind of stuff.
So Lightworkers Gotta Work's biggest message is that the world won't change sitting in meditation pillows all day long. The world changes when lightworkers like you and me will light up and we take consistent action to following and fulfilling your life purpose. So essentially, it's the ultimate system to finding, following, and fulfilling our life purpose by embracing both the masculine energy, the feminine energy, so that we not only know our light, but we work it to create big positive change in the world. It comes out August 19th this year.
Nice.
And when people go to georgelizos.com/lightwork, you'll get all the information about it, how to pre-order it on Amazon or anywhere else books are sold. And then you can enter your receipt number into a sign-up form in that website, and then you get the live 2-hour masterclass with
Yes.
me that happens August 2nd. So that's going to happen before the book goes out so that you have the time to watch it and find your life purpose. And then
Amazing.
August 19th, you receive the book and you start working your light worker.
Yes, baby. I mean, come on, like what else do people need to know? I mean, that just kind of says it all, doesn't it? So where can people find you on social media? Is it just what's your handles?
So on Instagram, my handle is at George Lizos. I would also love people to come and join my private Facebook group, Your Spiritual Toolkit, where I
Ooh.
share even more tools and guidance all about finding and following your purpose.
I absolutely love that. And like you say, you kind of you work with lots of different people, don't you, of all ages, genders, so it's for anybody really, isn't it, for you?
Anybody who he considers themselves to be a light worker is welcome to join my communities.
And again, I suppose if there's somebody watching this that's like, I want to become a light worker, this sounds interesting. I guess this is so important to get the book, to read it, because you're gonna have so many, I'm gonna say, awakenings and like moments like you're like, oh my God, this is for me. And if it's not for you, it's not for you. But I think everyone who's listening to this now, if they're drawn to it, it'll be for a reason. I always say that if you're drawn to George, go follow him because it's for a reason. You're being called to do it, so go and do it. And just even if you're like, I don't know what's gonna happen, follow him on Instagram. Like, you know, I'm sure you'll be happy for him to message you, won't you? Drop him a DM.
Yeah, I always go into my DMs.
And just connect, because that's how me and George got talking. I messaged him saying I really like your work, and then that's how it started, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, if someone like listened to the whole interview up until this moment, you are a light worker. So go ahead, join the
Yes.
communities, come talk to us. Like, we're here to support you.
Okay, so I've got one huge, amazing question to ask you finally. You're gonna love
Yep.
this.
Go for
So
it.
we've spoke lots and lots about energy, life purposes, being a light worker. So, George, what is your life purpose? What legacy do you want to leave on this planet?
So my life purpose is to help lightworkers overcome fears and limiting beliefs that prevent them from finding and following their life purpose. And I do this via transformational spiritual processes, healing journeys, and intuitive guidance to help them find happiness, help others heal, and create positive change in the world. And that's like my paragraph after doing my own process of defining my life purpose. I actually have it written on a piece of paper right in front of me as we speak.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I love that. Because I just thought that's like, what better way to end this than by saying, okay, so what's yours? And I mean, oh my God, is that inspirational or what, guys? I absolutely have. I've loved this, George. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh my goodness, that was the best time of my day today. Thank you so much for having me on.
We definitely need to do this again, George. We've got so much. We've got endless topics to talk about.
I'd love to. Like, we can talk about energy protection. We can talk about the elementals.
See what so I mean? This is what I mean. So next season, we've got to do that because that's a whole different ball game, isn't it? That's a whole different world.
Whole different world.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me for a brand new episode of A Slice of Life with me, Jack Walton. Please rate, share, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever else you get your episodes from. Don't forget to follow me on social media. I am Jack Walton, and my new business page, Motivated Boy, to keep updated with everything I've got going on. With thanks to this month's guest, George Zoes, to our podcast producer, Hassanal Hack, and to you, the viewer, for listening. See you next month.